Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Venice's new tourism fee sparked confusion on day one, and Southwest has a new sales scheme that might save you some money on airfare. Those stories next in the news.
Whether you're a first-time cruiser or a veteran of many ocean-going voyages, we have a short list of tips to make you a smarter cruiser coming up at 11:20.
News headlines are abuzz with the word there are new rules for refunds for airfares coming this summer. We've talked about them here, but it won't change all at once. At 11:35, we'll share important details about the new airline refund rules and talk about a new regulation some are overlooking.
And at 11:50, we're taking you to British Columbia outside Vancouver to a most unique aquarium. If you love cool off the beaten track places, stay tuned.
Whether you are part of our live show or listening later on the podcast, thank you for the privilege of your time. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Travel and Entertainment Guys. I hope you can hear me. My lights are flickering here in my studio. Are we still alive and well, Mark?
A moment ago it said on our, you know, we're for folks who don't know, I'm in the Sports Leisure Vacations offices. Tom is in his home in a studio. Yeah, there go the lights again flashing here, too. So we're a couple miles from each other, connected by FaceTime on the phone. And, yeah, it listed your connection as unstable a few minutes ago, and I thought that was kind of ironic because if you know you and I, why then you kind of knew that to start with.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'll let Justine know. If for some reason I completely vanish and Mark's still there, then he does the rest of the show. Yeah,
or vice versa.
Blinking here. It's that weather. Did I finish saying that we're the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations?
And, it has to be the Travel Guys because when the weather absolutely totally sucks, the Travel Guys are on the air. Because I don't know how many times this has happened over the last 3 or 4 months, but all the crappy weather has come on Saturday. I mean, I don't know about where you are listening right now, folks, but and the rain has lightened up here, but 20 minutes ago, what was it? My grandpa used to say, it's raining cats and dogs outside.
There you go. Yeah, well, we were warned that it was going to turn to winter and feel just like it did a few months ago, and it certainly has. I mean,
I feel for all the kids that, you know, had Little League games, and just down the street from me are three softball fields for the girls for Cordova softball. And on Saturday in early May, you know, there would be several hundred people, kids and the parents and stuff out there. So taking a little baseball scouting trip next week.
Well, you should, especially with Carl, with Yastrzemski knocking it out of the park.
Wasn't that cool? This is not a sports program. Some people will wonder what we're talking about. The Boston Red Sox had an outfielder for many years named Carl Yastrzemski. He's in the Hall of Fame. Really class guy. And his grandson, Mike, plays for the Giants. And this last week they went and played a series in Fenway Park where the Red Sox play their home games, and Mike Yastrzemski hit a home run in front of his family and stuff like that. So those are the kind of special little moments that I think baseball provides more so than other sports because it's played at a little slower pace. And you have the opportunity to kind of absorb those things. But anyway, that was cool. Headed out to Chicago and to Seattle later this summer. We're taking baseball fans to those two places. And so we are just making sure that some of the special things that we have arranged are all going to be in place for that. So I leave tomorrow morning, and I'll be back Friday night just in time for our Monday morning. Be back Friday night just in time for another edition of The Travel Guys on Saturday morning.
Can you imagine, folks, you're planning a vacation with the family or with the spouse or whatever by yourself, and you have somebody that instead of just showing up and experiencing it by yourself for the first time, you have somebody, a buddy, a scout, that you send out on the road, you know, like in the Old West, that send the scout out ahead to make sure everything was safe. And have someone go out and check the restaurants, check the hotels, check the accessibility, and do all of that to make sure that when you finally go, that things are perfect. that's pretty special. So that's what you get when you travel with Sports Leisure Vacations. Not intended to be a plug for the company, but just an observation that I think is really unique.
One reason things cost a bit more here is because if doing homework takes time and time is money when you're in business. You know, we sit here and tell folks before you go out traveling on the road, do your homework so you'll know some, you'll be a little smarter traveler than the next guy. So that's kind of been our philosophy here as a business for lots of years. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, enough of that. We probably should get on with the radio program here.
And with the, and the radio program, at the top of every program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with the sound of the music, it's time for Mark and today's travel news. Mark?
Remember the story, just what's it been, a few weeks ago, the people who missed the ship, the several couples who missed the ship in Africa, and they spent several days racing across continents trying to catch up with it? It's in the news again. An elderly couple, ages 84 and 81, were left behind by their cruise line in Spain. This is the Norwegian Viva. They, a couple folks from Salt Lake City, they were on board celebrating his 85th birthday. They got to a port of call in Spain, took an independent excursion to Granada, and they got caught in behind an accident on the way back. They called the ship and everything, but the ship left without them. So, folks, this is just a reminder of what we've said here. You know, when you're in the travel business, oftentimes I'm traveling with 25 or 30 people, and you have one person who has chosen to go off on their own or something like that, and you're like, you know, how long do you wait for that person, and what, you know, what do you do in a situation like that? And all I can tell you is the cruise lines seem to have the same philosophy. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. So if you are that few, one or two people who didn't follow the rules, and there's 3,000 people on board the cruise ship, and they have to make a decision as to what, who they're going to accommodate, guess what? They're probably going to take care of the people on board the ship, or the tour company is probably going to take care of all the people who are all traveling on the tour together, as opposed to inconveniencing them for one person. So you have to, you got to be responsible. And really, when you're on a cruise, be really, really careful about scheduling independent things. They can be enticing because they're cheaper, but the cruise line is not going to wait for you. So make sure that you schedule it in a way that allows you a buffer that to get back to the ship, because otherwise catching up with the ship could be quite expensive. And some of these ports of call are, you know, off the beaten track. There aren't a lot of hotels and stuff like that. All right, Venice. We've talked about the tourism fee that they're charging people to enter the city. It started out on Thursday. It's about a $5 tax to enter the city for sightseers, and it was total chaos. People who are staying within the city limits don't if you have accommodations and you can prove it, you don't have to pay. Obviously, if you live there, you don't have to pay. The people who live within the city say, look, this is great, but we need places to be able to live that are affordable. This is something you've heard in other tourism destinations around the planet. So this isn't really addressing our needs. And so anyway, if you're headed to Venice, be ready for a little minor chaos there. If you're a sightseer, you're going to have to pay a few bucks to get into the city. And if you are somebody staying in the city, be prepared. Once again, do your homework. Southwest Airlines has been ordered to offer $75 flight vouchers for flight delays and cancellations. This is separate from the other rules that are taking place this summer that we're talking about. This is a spinoff from Southwest meltdown at Christmas a couple of years ago. The FAA said they would have to play by some different rules for a while. This is the FAA and the DOT says these are part of the rules. So Southwest is supposed to issue a $75 voucher if the flight was delayed within 7 days, it was delayed or canceled within 7 days of the scheduled departure date, or passengers arrived at their destination 3 or 4 hours later than planned. I don't want to go into this a lot because it's just going to confuse people. There are another set of rules going on later on, but just know if you're flying Southwest that they're being made to toe the mark a little bit more than everybody else. If you have a flight that's more than 3 hours delayed, you might be entitled to something. Princess Cruises has revealed details of its 2026 World Cruise itinerary. 52 ports, 28 countries, 114 days, 35,000 nautical miles. Holy Paschutski. Leaves on January the 5th of next year from Fort Lauderdale, and January the 21st from Los Angeles, and you're never heard from again. for those of you who are so inclined, Joe Brancatelli, friend of the Travel Guys, tells us that this is kind of an interesting story. Ted Cruz, a few years ago, tried to slip off during a storm time in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Tried to
slip
off to Cancun. Mm-hmm. And because he had to go through regular screening lines, he got busted trying to leave. So Ted, Cancun Cruz, he's called in this particular article, decided that maybe what we should have is special screening lanes for people like him.
Absolutely.
So he wouldn't get caught sneaking away, tried to slip that into the FAA reauthorization bill. But it's not in there. It was blocked by somebody else. So Cancun Ted Cruz is going to have to maybe wear a disguise when he goes through the airport. In the headlines, we mentioned that Southwest Airlines has launched a new sale initiative. It's called Wanna Go Wednesdays. I've read this article, this release, four times. It doesn't appear you have to fly on Wednesday, but every Wednesday, if you go to their website, they are going to release special fares on days and routes that are in need of people. I can't believe airlines haven't done this sooner, but this is a great way. At the last minute, you might find that, hey, you know, I was thinking about going to Baltimore in 10 days, or I need to go to Baltimore sometime, and in 10 days, here's a drop-dead, dirt-cheap fare that I can get. So Wednesdays on the Southwest.com website, you may be able to find some discounts on upcoming trips. And, of course, Southwest, you know, has a rule that if you find a lower fare in their system, you can go back and reticket your ticket at the lower fare, and there is no surcharge or service fee or any garbage like that. You just get the lower fare. So if you find that it's not that way on every airline, so if you find that on Southwest, maybe you can save a few bucks. Couple lists came out on best and worst airports this week. Best ones wasn't really that interesting. I found the worst ones to be the two worst airport lists do not have any airports in common. They both listed 8 or 9 airports. Neither list has any commonalities. So this is who these two lists of folks, travel experts, think are the worst airports in the U.S. Las Vegas, absolutely agree. Absolutely the worst place. Overcrowded. All those slot machines everywhere. Las Vegas is the worst. Newark, I would agree with that one. Very crowded, very confusing, often delays. Baltimore, very overcrowded. JFK, New York, agree with that one too. Chicago Midway, that's Southwest Airport in Chicago. It's not a very big airport, so I don't necessarily agree with that one. Cleveland, Orlando, Boston, Logan. Boston for sure. LaGuardia in New York. Denver, which has become a zoo in recent years with Southwest edition there. Charlotte, don't fly there often. That's American Airlines. San Diego made one of these lists, and I absolutely agree with that. Way overcrowded, locked in, can't be expanded. They need another airport in the San Diego area. Burbank, same thing. Was a wonderful little cachet airport for a long time, but now everybody's discovered it, and it's crowded. Fort Lauderdale in Florida, St. Louis, I don't really agree with that one. Bush in Houston, and San Jose Airport, they say. Incredibly overcrowded, lack of food facilities. I don't fly out of San Jose, so hard for me to say. Anyways, tourism destinations keep popping up saying to tourists, if you can't behave, don't come here. Mount Fuji in Japan is the latest. There is an iconic spot where you can get a photo of Mount Fuji behind a convenience store. And I won't even attempt to pronounce the name of the city. It's 19 letters long. But the folks who live in the town are tired of people blocking driveways, stopping in the middle of the street, climbing on roofs to get pictures. So they are going to erect a wooden barrier on the roof of the convenience store, which is going to make it extremely difficult for people to take that iconic photo any longer. So, once again, tourism gone wrong, folks who can't behave. Who do you suppose are the highest paid people in the travel industry, Tom?
The highest paid people highest in the travel industry? I don't know, airline pilots.
Pretty close. You got the right thing. Airline pilots would be high on the list. Airline CEOs. Are the highest.
I don't really they really considered part of the travel industry.
At Delta Airlines, their guy Ed Bastian makes $34 million. He made $34 million last year. We know this because of their public reports. American Airlines, $31 million. Scott Kirby at United, wow, he deserves a raise. He's only at $18 million. And the guy that runs Southwest Airlines, $9 million. So I don't know how he scrapes by on such
It's horrible.
A measly salary. Hey, here's bad news for folks who are fans of the steamboats that plied the rivers. You know, the Mississippi Queen Company went out of business. They have three steamboats, a couple of them fairly new, and the old Mississippi Queen. Of course, the Delta Queen was once part of the company that preceded this company. Our Delta Queen here in Old Sacramento was once on the rivers. The word is that the American Queen is joining the other two boats at a shipyard in Louisiana and may be scrapped. Wow. That would be like... Wow. Doesn't mean the end of river cruises. It just means the end of those classic old steamboats. It will definitely be the end of an era, something that makes me sad. And here's
one. You load it on a barge and you take it inland about 1,500 miles, put it in a place where there's no water at all, and turn it into a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. Uber and Lyft, we've talked about this. They're fighting with Minneapolis. The Minneapolis people say, look, if drivers don't make a minimum wage, you can't operate in the city. They say, well, you know, yeah. And so who blinks first? Minneapolis has rolled back the start date from May the 1st to July 1st of when Uber and Lyft would have to adhere to the salary restrictions. Several, they say it's because to give time for other startup ride shares in the area to get established. Uber and Lyft say, ha-ha, we won, you blinked first. So we'll see what happens here, but at least Uber and Lyft is available if you're traveling to the Twin Cities until the 1st of July, and that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Quick reminder, Mother's Day a week from tomorrow. Yeah, this would be a perfect opportunity before they sell out, and that would be to get reservations to take Mom to Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House for their special Mother's Day dinner, which is from noon to 7. Accepting reservations as we speak at 916-351-0606. Parties up to 16, availability, limited availability, and I might point out that if you buy Mom a gift card. Maybe you can't take her, but you can get her a $100 gift card to Rudy's, and you get $20 gift card for yourself, or buy a $50 and get $10 for yourself. Rudy's Hideaway is just a spectacular place for any meal, and particularly for Mother's Day. Rudy's Hideaway, you can find them right there off of Highway 50 and Hazel.
Hey, we just have a few minutes here for our Smarter Travelers segment, and I wanted to dedicate this to people who cruise. You know, word was out this week. Tom, you and I were talking about the fact that cruises are becoming increasingly popular. And why is that so? Is it the everything is planned for you? All you have to do is show up and eat and drink and lay around sort of thing. And if you want to go other places, as long as you buy our overpriced stuff and you get back on time, life will be good. But there are some things that will help you. I don't like cruising, and one reason I don't like cruising on large ships, not river cruises, but large ocean-going vessels, is because frequently you find yourself waiting somewhere with hundreds of other people for something to happen, like them to let you off the ship or let you back on the ship or something. There's a lot of wasted time. Here is an idea that kind of addresses that. People, when they get on board the ship, they frequently arrive at the beginning of the window. You know, if it's you can board between 1 and 6, then at 12:45 there'll be a huge line of people. And because it takes a little while to process people and get them on board, a lot of those people will wait in line for an hour and a half, 2 hours. You know, what if there's a thunderstorm in Florida and you're supposed to be getting on the ship and you're waiting in line and all that kind of jazz? So here's an idea from someone who works on board a cruise ship, is sharing these ideas. Get on board towards the end of that window. You know, don't cut it to the last 30 minutes, but if it's 1 to 6, don't show up until 4 o'clock. Because by then, the line is gone, you'll likely be able to get on much quicker, and you may have been able to do something fun in those few hours, you know, fairly close to the ship, go shopping, see an attraction, do something really cool.
Well, that's a great idea. I mean, Never really thought much about it, but
no, me
excellent
either.
Tip.
Yeah, yeah, it's really an excellent idea. Is don't be there and stand in line with everybody else. Now, here's another one I thought was really outstanding. I hadn't heard before. Ships will not. There are certain things that are banned on board. So if you think that you're going to take your gummies or your smokables or whatever on board, why I have news for you. That's probably not going to happen. They're going to catch you with that, and then they may not let you on the ship at all. So best to kind of steer away from that. But here's one. Most cruise lines ban items that produce a flame. So you've got, you know, a small lighter in your suitcase or whatever. I have one in my shaving kit because if the lights go out, I want to be able to light the candle, which is also in my road shaving kit in case the power goes mm-hmm. off. So that would be in many cases a non-starter. So you want to make sure.
Light.
Yeah, well,
flashlight. Take a flashlight, Mark. Get rid of that lighter.
So that's something that you want to make sure. Maybe somebody's going to celebrate a birthday along board. So you brought some birthday candles. You brought a little lighter to be able to light them. So that's something that you don't want. Another thing that this gentleman says to me, he says, look. When people are getting on board the ship, you'll be surprised how many people show up at the ship and they're not ready to get on board. They don't have their paperwork out. Their luggage tags haven't been affixed to their bags. He said, so all of this takes 3 or 4 or 5 minutes while they do all the things they were supposed to do before they got here, and everybody else is waiting in line. And he said, when that happens 10 or 15 times, why then everybody waits. So the key here is, again, do your homework. Do the things that you can do to be ready to go before you get on the cruise ship. So there's a few little items that might help you next time you go cruising.
All right. There's a buzz about refunds from airlines and how that all works. Some new rules. We're going to talk about it and make you a smarter traveler. So quick reminder in our last segment off to British Columbia, just outside of Vancouver, a really unique aquarium we're gonna talk about. A tide pool is a place where you can go and pet slimy underwater creatures.
yeah, that's full disclosure. We talked with this lady a couple of days ago, and it, for those of you who like off the beaten track places, or if you're a sea creature person, then this is a place that you're going to want to put on your list. That's coming up next. Hey, a funny thing here. We were talking about Ted Cruz earlier in his trip to Cancun. Ted is Cancun Cruz is one of four lawmakers, two Republicans and two Democrats. Interestingly enough, the two Democrats are from Washington State. Can you say Alaska Airlines? And Ted Cruz is from Texas, of course, another Republican from Missouri. All of the lawmakers trying to tack things onto the Federal Aviation Reauthorization Bill because it's the last big bill of the year. So anything that you haven't gotten passed this year, you're trying to get an amendment in there so that when that bill gets passed, all these little amendments flow through too. And these four legislators have introduced a bill that would require passengers to send a written or electronic request in order to receive a full refund for a canceled or significantly delayed flight. This is in reaction to these new rules that are going into effect July the 1st, which would allow refund for customers, travelers, under some situations that weren't previously covered. So what has happened here now is that before this can even take effect is that these four congresspeople, shame on them, have stepped up, and like I say, it's it doesn't matter which team you play for because there's two from each team here, have stepped up and said, well, we want to amend this so that you have to send a written request to get this refund because everybody knows that misinformed traveling public will not, a lot of people won't do that, and the airlines won't have to issue a lot of refunds. So this is a way to, before the rule ever goes into effect, for God's sake, we have lawmakers who are working to undermine the potential impact of this rule. In other words, airlines hate giving people cash. They hate giving refunds in cash. They would much rather give you a voucher that expires in 20 minutes or 10 days or 6 months or some period of time so that it would make it difficult for you to use it because then they don't have to pay that out either. They Right. know this because they've been giving vouchers out for years. They know what percentage, it's about a third of them, that never show up. So if you give a voucher away instead of a dollar in cash, you've really only given away 60, 70 cents. The airlines are not stupid. They know this. They've gotten to these legislators and said, hey, let's get this rider in here so that the customers will have to jump over one more hurdle.
Right.
Before they
make it as difficult as possible for them to be able to get their cash refund so that they won't.
Yeah, exactly. And I call absolutely.
Thanks for representing us.
Yeah, well, exactly. Exactly. To the guy who wants private screening lanes so he can slip away to Cancun unnoticed while his constituents are going through a tornado or a hurricane or something like that. Yeah, Ted found three other lawmakers who are willing to go in on him with this, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the two Democrats are from Washington State because, like I said, that's where Alaska Airlines is headquartered.
My daughter was in San Antonio during that big freeze that where this all occurred, and they were two parents and child, actually three children at that time, with no running water, no electricity.
Wow.
For 3 days. And Ted was sneaking out.
Ted was sneaking out, yeah. But Ted got busted sneaking out. So now he wants something set up so that they can't see him sneaking out anymore. And shame on. And one of them is a lady that I've met with before, Maria Cantwell from Washington, Democrat from Washington State, whose name is on this. I just, you know, how long does it take people like Charlie Leoka and Chris to get
Elliot
to get some of these things before lawmakers and get somebody to listen to them and say, yeah, you know, that makes common sense. Let's do that. And then as soon as they get something, before it can even take effect, we've got people slipping in the back door and trying to sabotage the whole thing, which, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, fortunately, none of those lawmakers have Sacramento next to their name, because otherwise they'd get a piece of my mind. All right, let's talk here about these new rules that are going to go into effect on July the 1st and what they mean to you so you'll have some idea. It has to do with canceled and delayed flights, basically, and luggage, and if you're really sick and you can't fly. So here's the breakdown. If you're on a domestic flight and the itinerary changes to depart 3 hours earlier or later, then you're entitled to a cash refund. 3 hours, cash. International flights, 6 hours, cash. So right now the airlines, if they want to, they might give you a voucher or something like that. But this changes all of that and says you will have to have cash. Of course, if the lawmakers' bill that we were just talking about goes through, then you will have to request your cash formally for the airline to refund it to you, which is kind of interesting. Will they automatically send you a voucher, and then you'll have to request the money? I see some things going on behind the scenes I don't like here. Significantly delayed or lost bags. You pay an airline $30, $40, $50 to get your bag to where you're going. You show up, the bag's not there. 2-3 days later, the bag finally shows up, and the airline delivers it to you and acts like nothing is wrong. And in the meantime, you may have had to go out and buy some things to replace those things. Now, if the bag is at least 12 hours late on domestic, 15 hours late for international, you will be refunded the baggage fee. Now, this seems like a small thing, and you would think it would be common sense that if
it
they
would.
Didn't provide the service, they would say, we're sorry that something happened to your bag. Here's the money back. You paid for us to handle it. That is not the case. This rule changes that. They will have to give you your money back if your bag is delayed more than 12 hours, even if it shows up. Also, another really important thing here. Passengers affected by a serious communicable disease. The regulation requires airlines to provide travel credits or vouchers. Now, remember, now this is not cash here. This is back to the vouchers or credits. For any ticket bought before a government-announced public health emergency. So, you bought a ticket, COVID comes up, the government says you shouldn't be traveling, the airline now owes you a refund. You don't have to negotiate or argue with the airline. They owe you a voucher, not a refund, a voucher or a travel credit. If your doctor says, you know what, you've got COVID or you're really sick and you're communicable and really you shouldn't be on an airplane, and they're willing to document that, then now you can go back to the airline and say, I want a refund. I'm sick, and I'm legitimately sick. I can prove that I'm sick, And I'm sure there'll be all kinds of ways that people will try to get around this, because I'm in the travel business and I deal with this on a regular basis. But doctors are not supposed to write notes saying you're sick when you're not. It's against their oath. So if you can find one to do it, good for you. But if you can, if you're legitimately sick, you go to the doctor and the doctor says don't get on the airplane, now you can get a refund for your ticket. You don't have to say, well, Jesus, I paid $800 for this. I hate to make other people sick, but I have to go. I mean, I can't afford to lose the $800.
And that's a cash refund.
That no, this is a voucher.
If you get the doctor's note, do you get cash?
No,
or still this just a voucher?
This is the voucher on the not able to fly because you're sick thing. It's a voucher. If the flight is delayed or your bag doesn't show up, those are cash. There are some other things here, and one other item that I want to mention before we head down the road here has to do with a law, California law, that goes into effect in July. Junk fees are no longer able to be added to restaurant checks. There's some great discussion going on online about San Francisco restaurants that charge a 4.5% surcharge for employee benefits. Many of the Wharf restaurants do this. And the argument is, well, that's not a service charge. It's a benefit surcharge. And so they're saying it doesn't, you know, they're talking apples and oranges here. But the law people are saying, no, you can't, you're not going to be able to charge that surcharge. That's coming up soon for restaurants, especially in the San Francisco area. This may impact the way that they do business. But, you know, at the end of the day, if we're paying it no matter what, can I just know what you're going to charge me when I walk in the door? Can I just know what I'm getting myself into so it's not a shock at the end? It seems like that would be the way to do business. But for some people, I guess maybe not so much.
I thought I heard last night, I have to go back and check, and maybe you've heard this, service fees on sporting event tickets.
Yes, same thing.
Which are always very high. Are they going to go away in July?
Hypothetically, again, I'm sure there are going to be arguments about this back and forth as to technically what they call these and what the law calls them. But the legislators are saying, you know, this is what we called it, but it covers a fairly wide range of things. Service charges have to either be revealed or they have to go away. So they're going to have to tell you what that service charge is for, whether it's just to pad their... You know, some restaurants have added service charges to the bill, and they don't have anything to do with anything. They're just there to get more money out of you. So in this case, they're going to have to be a little more upfront. That's what we as consumers want. We can't control pricing. We just want to control. We want to know what it is that we're going to pay before we're surprised about it at the end. Anyways, that's a little bit of a rundown on what those rules mean.
You know, this is like the Consumer Bill of Rights, which should be posted prominently at the airport, so that when in other places, so that people know what it is and where they can reference it, so that because I understand in Europe they have that.
They have special rules in Europe in regards to travelers' rights. They went a little overboard, I might say. The European rules are a little more consumer friendly than maybe, but they've learned to live with it.
This wouldn't be posted at travelguysradio.com.
There is a link at travelguysradio.com, to a breakdown of some of the stuff that we were just talking about.
A link to our special guest today and other guests and lots of information to make you a smarter traveler can be found at travelguysradio.com. All right, Mark has hooked us up with a very, very interesting experiential interview. Our guest today is Nancy Cottingham Powell. She's the executive director with Blue Act Marine Society.
Hi, Nancy. And she's with the Nicholas Sontag Tide Pools Aquarium, which is in Gibson's, British Columbia. And if you don't know where Gibson's is, you get a pass. It's, what should we say, Nancy, a little bit northwest of Vancouver?
Something like that, by the crow's flies, it's not very far, but you have to get on a ferry or a plane to get here because we're coastline, that we're not accessible by road.
Good.
Wow, okay. Wow. So explain that. If I'm in Vancouver and I want to come visit you, how do I get there?
Well, so you have three options. When you land at the Vancouver International Airport and catch a small flight, and it will land in our airport, which is sort of mid Sunshine Coast. The other option is there are seaplanes that you can take from downtown Vancouver from the harbors. And your third option is if you're in the renting a car, it's a pretty friendly city to drive in, so it would be okay to do. And come over to what they call the North Shore of Vancouver, which is where all the mountains are, and go to a place called Horseshoe Bay. And there's a ferry terminal. You get onto a ferry to Langdale.
Okay, so there are a variety of ways to get there. You're not in downtown Vancouver. That's the important thing for people to know here. It's going to take a little effort to get to you. So, Nancy, maybe that effort, it sounds like that effort might be worth it. You are a collect and release aquarium. I know what collect and release means, but explain to me how that works for an aquarium and how you're able to educate folks and stuff using that type of a system.
So what we do is we have divers that work with us who go down into the subtidal areas and a little deeper in our local oceans and bring up creatures that we have been certified to bring into our aquarium and show off so that they live with us for, you know, a time period, sometimes a year, sometimes longer. And then when they are ready to go back to the wild, we have them certified and off they go again so that they can finish out their life in the wild ocean. And that way everybody gets to meet these creatures and get to know them, and they get to live the best of both worlds.
Nancy, I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, this is an experiential trip, meaning that you get to do stuff. Are we going to get to pet the starfish? What kind of activities and interaction do your guests have with the sea life?
Absolutely. We do have touch tanks. So you get to pet sea stars and all sorts of other gooey creatures that live in those subtidal situations. I think it's really important for people to be able to get that close and understand. They'll learn more about the creatures. Sea stars move fast. Like when you hang around the aquarium for half an hour, you can see these things trucking along. So I never understood that until I worked here. So
I love that, Tom. Gooey creatures.
Yes. Yeah,
it
yeah.
It kind of conjures up an image, but if you've felt creatures in the ocean before, gooey is a good description for some of them. Nancy, yep. What does it cost to come to your facility there in Gibson?
A whole $9 for adults, and children are $4.50, and under four are free. So we're very family friendly. I think there's a family pass. I can't remember what it is, but I think it's $25 for the day. But we're a very family friendly, inexpensive way to connect with the local ocean.
Okay, let me ask you before we let you go here, what else is there to do in and around Gibson's there? If somebody comes over to see the aquarium, are there enough things to keep people occupied for part of a day?
Absolutely. Well, we are actually located in the Gibson's Public Market, and there's a whole market downstairs with vendors and food and wonderful things to eat. And we have a little shop ourselves, a bistro, but also all of Lower Gibson's has a whole bunch of artisan shops. We are the home of where the beachcombers used to be shot. So there's Molly's Reach that you can check out. There's a lot of different things. There's a whole marina here. There's a pier you can go out onto. And then, from there, the Sunshine Coast is at your beck and call. A lot of people like to kayak and do other fun things. It's a coastal paradise here. Really, it is.
Wow, and you have the least expensive attraction in the whole general area, because there isn't anything in Vancouver or Victoria that I would consider inexpensive.
Exactly.
And of course, folks, when you go to Canada, remember, when you go in, you're going to get about $1.35 Canadian for every U.S. dollar that you have. At least that's the current exchange rate. So when you get there and you see that things are more expensive, remember that your dollars go a little bit further in Canada because of the exchange rate. But like I said, it's Vancouver and Victoria are not inexpensive places. But, Tom, this just really sounds like an amazingly wonderful, off-the-beaten-track, cool place to visit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you're headed up to Vancouver and Victoria this summer and you're looking for something fun to do and you're kind of that off-the-beaten-track person, wow, this sounds really amazing. The Nicholas Sontag Tide Pools Aquarium. It's in Gibson's, British Columbia, which is northwest of Vancouver. And you heard Nancy talking about how to get there. It's going to take a little bit of effort. But sometimes those places that it takes a little bit of extra effort to go are worth getting to. Nancy, is there anything else that we should know here before I let you go? I will tell folks that you can find a link to the aquarium at travelguysradio.com. So if this sounds cool to you, or you already have a visit planned for the area or know someone who lives up there, you can connect with them pretty quickly.
I just want to say that the ferry ride to Gibson's is absolutely stunning, and it's worth the time to get to us just to experience that ferry ride. So we welcome all the visitors with open arms, and we hope to see you soon.
Wow, cool. Thank you, Nancy, from the Nicholas Sontag Tide Pools Aquarium in Gibson's, British Columbia. Not too terribly far from Vancouver, but just far enough that you'll have to make an effort to get there. Nancy, thanks for some of your time today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I think
no,
that
it sounds. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I'm going for sure. I'm going.
All right. Well, you know, you're Mr. Off the Beaten Track, and
yeah.
As you mentioned, and you're comfortable with it. I think a lot of people are that to find these really good places that are off the beaten track takes a little extra effort. Might have to drive a little further. You have to negotiate some couple of moves to be able to get to a place basically that not everybody's going to get to.
Find a fun new town. The aquarium sounds, the gooey things sound fun. So it sounds like a fun place. Hey, listen, this is something that we should go into. I just found this on a news feed that came this morning. Do you know that the average American household spends $1,163 a year on credit card fees? In other words, as a business, I raise my prices in order to cover the fees that the credit cards charge me. So when you use your credit card, that fee is covered. I don't have to add it on to the bill. So it with in the average household all around, overall, you spend $1,163 a year for the privilege of those cards. So if you're not collecting points and getting a value of at least that much a year, then the credit card companies are getting you. We'll break that down and talk about it more sometime in the future.
Well, you know, there's two things here. There's the fee that you pay to use the card, and then when you use the card, if you don't pay it off, then you've got the interest that accrues on that, and I'm sure they're not really talking about that interest.
They're not. They're not talking about either one of those things. They're just talking about the fact that when you do business with Sports Leisure Vacations, and you pay 3% more than you would pay if we didn't have this credit card system. So if $3,000 trip, you're paying me $90 more because that's what I have to pay the credit card company for the privilege of you using the card. And then you get some bonus points and stuff out of that. But the point is, does it equal what you're paying in added fees? Anyways, down the road sometime. Thanks for joining us on this rainy Saturday. Dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next Saturday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, remember travelguysradio.com for lots of good stuff about travel.